This I don't know if you know, but the Sean Dunn Poetry Festival is coming up, and poetry competition. And I was struggling trying to think about him and the competition, and I had a few drafts, and this is one. Words dropped in silence. I land a word on a pristine page. It lies there, waiting like a grain of spilled rice. For the whip of a spinning top to instill it with life, clever metaphors to hold you spellbound. What of my life could hold you? My delight in the velvet of my baby son's cheek, his mother's yellow stockings. I favor the imminent, my surroundings, but my hero, Akhmatova, favors craft, like the swift calligraphy of a scroll. I like to be silent, to hear birds, to hear animals stirring, birds calling, branches crackling. None of this disturbs my silence. My word lies waiting on the page, like a playground empty of children's cries.
Margaret. I'm going to squish someone in second that has to leave early, and that's Holly Dara Hickey. Would you mind coming up, Holly, and sharing your poem? You ready?
I also thought it was me.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
This one isn't finished yet, so apologies. It's called Disembodied. I would rather live in my head than be in my body for even a moment. Just tuck me up in the lee of a theory, the lullaby of my own monologue, a relentless soundtrack. It's so much easier to project control even to myself that I'm drawing the stitches closed by virtue of knowing the root of the violence. When the why isn't there, it doesn't mean the search is off. I'm just going to start to scroll a bit. Peel back and crawl into my skin, a shield of words. My body has resorted to this. Thank you.
Dear Margaret Holly. Tommy can hun la nunt araig la Roxanne. Is Roxanne in the room?
Yeah.
I'm cheating because I didn't have any inspiration at all. This one, I wrote it last year, literally 2 hours before Ovail. And it was calling me to read it again. And it's actually incredible to see. It was February last year, and so many things has changed in between, which is thanks to many people in this room. So you know who you are. Constance. It was a first name before I discovered it was a noun, that it has such a deep meaning. Constance calls up to continuity, to strength, to firmness. Being constant in one's act, thoughts, words. Constance is calm, sure of herself, more than I ever will be. She smiles, reassures, heals. She doesn't fail. But maybe the constance I seek lies in my so-called failures, falling over and over, trapped by insecurities, begging to be loved, ending up being used. A natural trait, it seems. Not anymore. Constance has a little sister, Prudence. Or is she older? I don't know. It doesn't matter, really. I tend to disregard that one. Why Prudence when there's an inner fire within me, one longing for action, rejoicing with each new adventure? Why Prudence when singing out loud clears the silent street after the last bus is gone? Why Prudence when a smile is the bright armor against life obstacles. Constance knows me. She's not afraid like her sister. We go along, she keeps an eye on me, each and every step. Three syllables each. They start and vanish as quickly in a breath, a murmur. They dance and I feel lighter. Sorry, it's a bit long. I knew a cousin of them, an acquaintance, because I never make my mind to stay in touch. Perseverance, that's not true anymore. That one is proud. When she enters the room, you can't miss her. She has a mind of her own, fights for what she wants. That's why I can't keep track of the plans she had. I'm too volatile not to move. She's a hard worker. I lack strength, endurance. That's another one. She's temporary. But recently, I met someone. I mean, recently. Somewhere along the past 5 years, our paths crossed. She could be an auntie, a godmother, a maid of honor, a best friend, a teacher. People mentioned her to me. I didn't know how to deal with that person. But as it is, she stayed, became a part of me without my acknowledgement. She is the final warrior, the silent one, the braver. She completes the three others in an infinite, perfect quartet. She pushed me when I wasn't aware of it. In fact, she still does. She wrapped the duvet around me during the sleepless crying nights. She fed me just enough so that I wouldn't fight it. She brightened the darkness. One so thick, it fades away only with prayers. She led me to you. She is resilience. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Roxanne. We're going to move on. And next up is Catherine. Catherine Ronan, isn't it? Yeah.
I had the great privilege to be asked to perform with John Kenny and Ruth Dillon Loch Gur recently. So I wrote this poem especially for the event. Loch Gur. Drumming in shale and soil, we swallow the earth, stuck in our throat for so long as we face the rising sun. Burning oil of ancient time, waxing vernix new, we arch the cosmos in every dream that brought us here. Drenched with the song of tomorrow's lullaby, we dance in the dark storm of ourselves. Gur of screaming, shouting, crying ritual, soul circle of ceremony, my sky swells. To you.
Give me the monitor, Catherine. Next up, we have Robin Kelly.
Hi. This is a poem inspired by an exhibition I recently went to go see. It's called Second Thoughts. Aimless wanderings on a filler day, town, all life, all separate. I enter the Crawford Gallery to take recluse from an unrepentant sun. This is where I find you. I must pull loose strings close together, concentrate through a cotton candy brain to allow myself to be tethered to this space by a wheezing air conditioner. But I am here to pay my mind to the spaces between time. And just as I sober from the heat, click, the numbers have changed. Reading like a foreign language in a faraway station. If I take a train, will it catch up with time? Will I catch up with time? I have thought long about how time is spent, how it is gifted, how it slips and builds, how there's never enough, and yet an abundance. As I chase this thought, like that imaginary engine, I am halted by the fact an hour has since come and gone.
Geraldine Margaret Robin, thank you very much. And next up is Antonio.
Thank you. This poem is called Drizzle. The small spoon is tired to turn around. 5 minutes have passed and the sugar is still in the coffee. The warm beverage makes light smoke circles. A devotion of time eliminates the taste of the coffee. How much aid can the Milky Way possess? At 5 o'clock, the coffee had won a primordial fight against the tea with the butter biscuits. Not too far, a shy thunder apologized for any inconvenience. On the wooden table where the coffee mug is waiting to be taken, a small bug fights for its existence. Taking a small piece of bread lifts the weight of its dreams with all the courage on this earth. The reserved small proportions are a glimpse into the unknown mystery of the discovery. Finally, the rain announces its appearance, a light blanket of water, tender vapor, an illusion like a hidden beauty. The clouds jumped in the coffee. The drizzle melted the last portion of sugar. The taste was sweet. Perfect. Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you, Antonio. The next name on the list is just says Louis. It's not Louis that's leaving the room, is it? Did you write down just Louis for? Is there another Louis?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Come on up, Louis.
Louisella.
Will I put your name? You can go on.
You two could become friends. Yeah, I mean, hi everyone, I'm Louis Hain, that's Louis Adol. Maybe I'll come off and read later. I'm actually really nervous, unexpectedly. This is my first time reading at an OVL, so I'm just going to read something I wrote recently, and it's kind of just a snapshot of a walk I took one evening, and I don't know, its meaning has been revealing itself to me progressively since the time I wrote it. And it's called Nagame, which is a Japanese word, which means, what does it mean? It means a lot of things to me. It's a verb meaning to look, but look really intently and take in as much as you can in one short moment, but it's also a homophone of another word which means long rain. So it's got multiple meanings attached to it. So this poem is called Nagame. The fog dies, the sky the color of paint, water rolling down a hill, like the one he died on, maybe. He is a red neon cross this time, and I am caught between two winds, pointing out churches like dusty planets in the inky fading west. I'll find my own North Star. A city dies and keeps on living. Many things to many people, tucked inside their rooms amid shifting smoke and amber streetlights, saying just slow down. So I stand up and walk, slow enough to trace my footsteps. We all love a story. I had porridge for breakfast today and my favorite color is blue. And when everything I say sounds the same, maybe I'll be one of you. The houses cast in a pale pink glow. by the cathedral's halogen watchmen. I lean over my shoulder to catch her skyward figure, stopped still, thinking Nagame. Long eye, long gaze, long rain, long way, and flat-footed down the hill to home. Come on, quick.
Jeremy Lamont, Louis, and I hope you share many, many other poems with us in the future, Kermagat. Next up is M. Egan Reeve.
I'll just stand like this. Hi, everyone. This is. This poem is called Ballyrissoed with my cousin John. Recalling a summer spent in West Cork water, knee-high, trousers turned up onto thigh, shirtless and sweaty, unrestricted, plump with the buckle fat of prepubescence. Our bodies didn't matter so much then, any passerby would have thought us the same. And though our mother's blood ran through both of our veins and our feet clung in, stuck to, squelched through the same unforgiving mud, seemed to me there was a ravine between us. One not seen in the toddler days, family home, sharing bath water and babbles, brewing like small and anxious crabs, developing in grandmother's words, too fast, tactile rib cages holding nothing but youth, tiny gums not broken yet, skin of the teeth unutilized. Hair on our heads, dry downy fluff, gently waving yet to be baptized. Never submerged, 20 years till that comes. Salty beard, scruff and beers don't yet cross our minds. Just childish presumption that sharing our lives would be a given. But the years pass by and the distance expands and the creases on the palms of my hands deepen, now in water again, flowing faster, now men, chest deep this time with weight lifted from mine, each his feelings of fierce inferiority realized in Atlantic shallows, previous images of ourselves left folded, neat, tucked in the drawers back home. For me, scar tissue settled under this breast, still angry and red as the first worms out of the soil upon spring rain or the first tiny rock pool, dwelling creatures that greet us here today or the face my mother made when I told her not to pray and instead to wait and see her son. And you, cousin, feel as insignificant as the words you speak, bravado apparently stolen by the crisp coastal breeze, immersed to the shoulders so wide that I envy, you know, the power that you hold, but your head is falling heavy. Still you can, so can I, look up to the sky, a fissure of light from which seagulls emerge. Heaven sent, I grieve a lost boyhood, you laugh among their cause. Thank you.
Good, Emma, love your work. So we're going to go Erlina back online to Jeff. Jeffrey, there.
I'm there. Hi. Okay, so I'm sure I've done this one here before, but I'm doing it again. Congratulations. So this is about how everyone gets writer's block, even the great poets, even the great World War I poet Wilfred Owen surely struggled once in a while. So this is called Wilfred Owen's Off Day. Damn this war! Oh, the pity of it! The pity! What pity! It's all just so very, very bad. I just get so sick of it all. So many atrocities and stuff. Those cannons are too bloody loud, and so are the planes. Those planes, they're all so plain full of it. Damn this war. Oh, damn this war to hell. I don't like it very much. I don't like all the corpses. Oh, those smelly, smelly corpses. And the fellow marching over there has stupid boots. And the food rations, now they leave something to be desired, too. And we're all bent double, just like old beggars under sacks, knock-kneed, coughing like hags, cursing through... Wait, I've done that bit before. All the dead. So many dead around here. Short days ago, they lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now I'm cribbing the Canadian fellow. Damn this war! Maybe I ought to throw in some Latin. Dulce e decorum est, conditus manducere cupulum? Nolite te bastardis carborundum, deformis stultus, est et infantibus assimilatur, ipso facto, veni vidi vici, voulez-vous coucher avec mon gaufrier? Damn this war! It's all a load of crap and bad things, like a bad thing that nobody likes because it's so bad, as bad as a piece of stinking war. Damn this war! Fuck this shit! Just shoot me now, you swines! Thank you. That was Wilfred Owen's off day. Thank you. Before I go, I think I can confirm now I will be live at Ovale this November as one of the features. So please mark that down.
Thanks very much, Jeff Garmalgut. I look forward to November. Okay, welcome to Rig with the wonderful Jim Crickard.
He's in America. Okay, so it's called Ag Fanacht an Fhreagra. And basically, it's this idea that I go into a church to ring God to ask for some help. Tastian technical support uim le Michael. Gak rod brista. Nile isagum kada tala yenuf. Marshin, honig meir staks a shape hill. Titim shias megluina. Hog me ma fón polka agus cuir me is hia. Níl amach ag fanacht an lína go dí a dua clog sa vadin. Scríof me an e-mail o hia agus dag me an mach gan fregra. Tá na shrádana cosúl leis an íhan a marav bio. Gach dina as a bhiar ag taistil. Skelóga cori cáis, little hole. Yas me a stocks and lean in a taxi, agus hussig me ex mwinov. Kusul, carry Bradshaw, a river. Tom eg dull a walia munin a hordoiga. Nach will me eg dull trasna mahail munin a hordoiga. Nilamach eg unpassioner an thrust mahail, gun is. Hussig me eg fecund na sealsha agus na crean, lish an aig kusul a chan baun rean Hollywood. Suavness imachri, bloch curry imachron. Anshin, fur me an email on contact center na yia. A hamish, fur me de kishtana. Agus beg fragra agot, nor a furtu boss. Shin shin, enish, lian na bear nila de hult. An rev tu sauce de lish on fragra. Le mas, Isa, CEO na hail. Thank you.
Next up, we have Niall Hearn. Hope I said your name right, Niall.
Hearn.
This poem is about a story that my granny used to tell us about her and her sister when they were kids on a farm in Cavan. So it's called Cavan Apples. Daddy was a mean man who was always kind. And when he was born, his daddy planted the apple tree, the one we'd always climb. Custard and crumble for tea is what he ate, his eyes closed for any fierce debate. My love, my gals, you're the apple of my eyes. He'd let the next words go with a sigh. Please don't pick the apples from the tree when ye play. You know I feed them to the horses, a little treat with their hay. We were wee lasses, after school we'd play. We'd run in the fields and skip through each day. We'd always pick the apples when daddy was away. One day we swore him gone, bringing cattle over on, and there our divilment did start. But as our skirts bundled the apples, sure they grew too heavy to hold. Now Christ we knew would be in for a scold. When then we saw daddy coming up the lane, with Jesus, Mary and Joseph, we all scampered away, and left the apples rolling down, clear as day. Didn't I tell ye don't pick and eat, or ye'll too know what it's like to be bruised, rotten and weak. And this is our final warning. True spoons of custard was given. Daddy didn't like us picking, and we knew if we did, we'd get a licking. When we were safe and sound in bed we shared, my sister turned to whisper to my ear, "And now don't you worry, my dear, don't I have a plan? I won't tell you what, but I'll tell you when. Just know it won't be long till we're belly full with sweet sour apple again." The morning woke us and we woke him, although unknowingly so. We played with the chicken and patted the pigs, and when our bellies grumbled, we knew the plan was rigged. So up the tree we went, the same tree many hours we'd spent, up the branches, up so high, we filled our bellies up yet another time. And out came daddy in a rage, the angry paddy waving stick and hat high. Ye divils," he let out a cry. "Didn't I tell ye not to pick? Come down now, I'll give ye a taste of the stick. Oh, daddy, oh, daddy, oh, daddy, oh, you can stop your shouting. Wish now and we'll tell you why, for we'd never wish to see you cry. You told us not to pick the apples, and although between us we've 10 belly full 8, not one apple have we picked from the tree. For you told us not to pick, and pick we have not. We've crawled up to each branch, tip and top. 'Tis from here we've bitten our bellies full, and not a single apple picked or did drop. Daddy was a mean man who was always kind. And when he was born, his daddy planted the apple tree, the one we'd always claim." Thank you.
The whole in now, Gurmila Mahagut, and Tomid Kumbugarai, the Patricia Walsh, our 5-word poem winner.
And this is called Blighted by Song. Noah by Harmony. Picking through works and days, seeking notices over the course of a day. The fresh paint on the counter counts the foliage. Food without dough is adventurous gazed, finishing all of it slowly, leaving the station. Looking out on the street, gaping at life stories, sauntering back to small milk and original. Nothing to blow the mind, if ever at all. Calmly seated next to technology endeavour, criminal as a spur, extenuated from the fort. Small continuity here or there, an acolyte to abuse, not advertising any strips or underhand classes, watching candles diminishing over an evening, observing eyeball to eyeball an overt type, loved at a distance, will stay that way, prospective rejection a cause not to celebrate. Reverting to type, a student worth desecrating, the corner curb betrays his fellow types. Ripping two chatonistas, covering losses. Serve fed to the poor, handwriting believable. Lost, being sorry, completely different, but have. Feeding on acids, being troublesome again. Ordering nutrition, trying on perpetuity. Not the being the type to surrender on others. The purpose, full of failure, a life for life. A sisterly jibe from Barrett Venue forever. Thank you.
Sure, Monica, Patricia. Next up is Phil Spillane. Where's he gone?
I'm here. Putting the 5-word challenge poem that I wrote, and this together you could probably figure out what chapter I'm in my life, and it's really weird and I'm enjoying it, but I'm kind of going, is it kind of raw as well at the same time? But it's very experimental, it's a lot of fun. But anyway, we'll jump into it. Poets can't keep secrets. Anyway. Yeah. You never dream of falling rain. So dream raindrops touching through the skin of a lake, chiming ripples. I never dreamt of eating blackberries. They grow fat and oily by the lake. Among weed and wildflower, we pick and eat. We are in a hot air balloon, eating blackberries, trying to find the lake among the puddles of other lakes. The basket is deep. The balloon is a dandelion. We are looking for the lake with the raindrops. I whisper their names while cuddling, till I fall deep into the basket and slip into the story below, tug into the textures of the basket, trying to find a soft hold. You are larger than life and all the dreams, dimpled dark and all smiles. In my old bedroom, you're textured on the monitor, represented by light and pixels. I couldn't hug or hold the stream.
Romina Margaret Phil, Sue Blue in the house.
Thanks very much. So this is after Paul Muldoon. He did a piece in his reading, and this is what I wrote. It's got the same title as Paul Muldoon's poem. It's called MRI Experience. Brrr, tuck, tuck, tuck. Grrr, tuck, grrp, 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 bee, tuck, 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 brrr, beep, 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 tuck, 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 ra-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, brrr, tuck, brrt, bzzz, tuck, grrr, pick, 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 beep. Brrr, brrp, tuck, 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 grrr, grrp, 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 tuck, 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 bzzzt, beep. Are you okay, miss? Repeat.
Here is your father, your grandma, but Owen, you might translate that into Irish for us, yeah? For me, Margaret. Next up, we have Mary. Is it Bernard?
Okay, so I wrote this after a very intense 14-hour Dungeons and Dragons game. It's called It's 5 a.m. and we spend 14 hours playing pretend because everything is changing and we just really love each other. The light in the room is bright, white, and grey. The chairs are uncomfortable and the space is too big, but we sit gathered, hunched, our head hurts. Face red, tears on cheeks from all that laughter. It feels like fish trying to escape back into the water, slipping out of my hands, through my fingers. I need to keep it inside, this feeling. I lunge at the air, trying to bring back the giggling chokes back into my body. The more I laugh, the more I lose it. It feels like I'll never be as happy as this again. I've never been as happy as this. This is mine, mine. This happiness is mine. It'll stay mine. Everything else is shallow water, lukewarm. I don't text my mother. I don't text my lover. There. Something like, so long as men can breathe or eyes can see. I'll let the mackerel find its way down the river. Wave a goodbye with one hand on my cheek. You will read this back when the water has turned frosty again with winter. And the moment will stay exactly here for only us to remember. Yes.
Thanks very much, Mary. Next up is Cedric.
Thank you very much, Philip, for this piece, because he's the one who inspired this to me, looking at my, at this, it's not really a notebook, it's actually an agenda from 2014 that I've been scribbling on since and up until now. And the title of this poem is Agenda of 2014. It starts with a cybersecurity nightmare. A few corporate passwords, barely encrypted, they will never know. The notebook is meant to keep my mind in order, and there are very early signs that chaos is already creeping in. More passwords and dates fighting for the endless space of spread out pages outside of my thoughts. Almost there, I wrote in January 1st. The following empty sheets are formal. My willpower did not make it. This agenda is a knot on a handkerchief, a reminder that I need reminders. What did I forget? Oh, a poem, caught on time. An ugly fly and its splatter, marking the line slammed shut onto its fleeing body. Its death was the debut of my legacy. May this organizer be part of my glory. Most likely postmortem. When someone unwittingly finds this talisman sealing pieces of my soul, maybe through the glued leaves, the dotted eyes and the crossed T's, or the ink that transpired, tell them something beyond the fantasies. What in the brain, in the guts, in the bowels, and the heart, the scripted flies fed upon, once my body can no longer be found. The agenda is reaching its end. A few pages left. Almost there. I can almost read it, but it's already written. A few notes, some forsaken accounting, upside down recipes, mundane shopping list. It never fulfilled the purpose it was meant for. A messenger of my end beyond my means. I thank my witness. Agenda of 2014.
Lovely, Cedric. Thank you. Next up, we have, is it Louise? Hi.
So this piece has been kind of bouncing around in my head for a long time. So I'm hoping that saying it out loud for once will actually put a stop to that. So it's called the PPFU. Tell me why I want you. Tell me why the part of my brain that sings writes songs for you. The notes get scrambled and my head feels heavy, but it always comes back to you. Have you ever heard it? The pining of the red-breast robin. The melody so fast yet slow. J'aimerais que tu sois là, mais je sais que tu ne veux pas dire tout ça. When you're with me, I'm glowing. Caught in the margins between. In your absence, I wander further than l'homme de cinq cent mille. Never did I think we'd be here, ruffled sheets in blue, above the mold in suits, and yet still I'm infatuated by you. Thank you.
Thank you, Louise. And I'm pretty sure it's Louise's first time at O'Vale, didn't you say that? Yeah, so fair play to you. Wow, amazing. Good woman. Ciarán, sorry, I managed to skip you a second ago. You're up. Ciarán McCartan. Come on, Ciarán.
How are we? Yeah, just to follow up on what Julie was saying a little while ago, we'd love to see you down at this event if you're around. It's called Feed Gaza, and it's an event that we're basically doing as a benefit gig for people of Palestine at the moment, for obvious reasons, and yeah, we'd really appreciate your support. It's going to be absolutely savage. It's going to be a really, really good day. It's a really nice lineup. The Savage lineup is kind of on the bottom of that poster there by the door. But it, yeah, it's a good mix of acts. McBokra playing, Julie's playing with Shiloh's Calpol, the Choke Collective are playing, and there's a whole different bunch of acts there. So, yeah, if you're around, there's a ticket link there on the poster. And yeah, we'd love to see you down there, so thanks a lot. It's a poem I wrote recently when we were coming home from Italy. I sit looking out at the last days of Rome. In the tree opposite the balcony, I count 12 parrots. They must love the fruit. I wonder what the fruit is, but I don't know. My tobacco has the dry, flaky feel, indicating entry into the last fifth of the packet. A jar of butts next to me is approaching the brim to say it's been a good relapse. I consider the reflection of sunlight on the tiles and how the slant of winter is not so sharp here, milder in its touch. I wonder what I'll miss of Rome. What I'll do with all the time I've saved not walking behind sauntering Romans taking 25 minutes to go on a 15-minute walk. Wonder how I'll get by without access to cacio pepe, arancini, pomodoro supli, endless pinza, and melanzana parmigiana. I consider the other thinkers who've assessed their leaving of Rome. I wonder what they wondered about, what they considered a loss in the ending of their time. Thank you.
We're going to jump online to Massimo. You there? Back of my head.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. When I was a child, I played as a child and thought as a child, waiting until I could grow up to become a man and then not be a child. But now I'm a man and all that I want is to walk as a child. I miss my innocence. I cannot live in a world that is not for a child. I can pretend to be grown, but I can't pretend to be home. I'll never pretend that this world full of everyone else's was never my own. People may help me remember, or I may remember alone. I can pretend to forget, but I cannot pretend that it never was known. Whenever in doubt, think of my mother and love at my birth. Whenever in pain, think of the strength of my father and what it was worth. Whenever in darkness, see it as shadow and know that the light must come first. I came to the earth, but came before earth and refused to lay under the dirt. But my body is growing, my voice getting deeper and deeper. Dreams that I weave in my sleep seeming to creep and catch up with the sleeper. All of the seeds that I've sown, if only I'd known that I am the reaper. So many gates I wouldn't have opened if I had known I was the keeper. Maybe it's good to reflect, but that doesn't mean that it's good to regret. Sometimes it's not what I want, but what I don't want that it's good that I get. My life's like a lover who hurt me. It's good to forgive, but not good to forget. But that is convenient. That is convenient amnesia, because I have been wrong, and it's good to admit. I've been a fool. I've been a liar. I have done physical harm. I am a sinner. My thoughts have done violence without my physical arm. I have used pity to disarm the world as a ploy just to kill it with charm. I would cry wolf as a child until I was scared I could hear the alarm. But I wasn't so wrong, saw an example and followed along. How could I not commit sin? Creatures off sin on the rock that I'm on. Some say that death is the wages of sin, but I never thought I could be gone. I may be young, but I feel the twilight of... I may be young, but I feel the twilight of life. So I call for the dawn. But who do I call to? Who is there other than me I can talk to? Where is there somewhere to go? Where I am now is the place I must walk through. Where is the power that made me and did for me what I know well I could not do? How could it not be inside me? There can be no other place it has gone to. So instead of the heavens, I pray to the love of remembrance. The prophets and pages have paper-thin messages. They cannot take my dimensions. Memory holds the whole book of my life without needing to even the edges. Only the child I was can remember the truth with no need for a message. But he needs no message. But for me, he's the message. It is his body I wear that has grown to this day that I keep as a vestige. It is his life I remember and keep as a reason the world is still precious. Because I can still remember the world is the world I remember, and that's where my strength is. Because when I was a child, I played as a child and thought as a child, waiting until I could grow up to become a man and then not be a child. But now I'm a man, and all that I want is to walk as a child. I miss my innocence. I cannot live in a world that is not for a child. Peace and love, everybody. Thank you.
You're welcome, Massimo. Thank you. We're going to continue. Massimo's in the States, am I right?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Good man. going to continue with the lovely Louis Mokai. What you wrote? Oh, Jesus, he says.
Lovely, you're lovely. Oh, glasses. Sorry, lads. I came here with two poems prepared in English. I got a shock when I realized that I was mainly devoted to things in Irish. So I pulled out a couple in Irish, but I'll read the translation first. Cruach Vorhin. This is ostensibly about a hill, a mountain which rises from our back field. On one side is that mountain, and in front of it then is the ocean, and the next place you can see is New York. Cruach Vorhin. When I look at you, my constant level-headed gem, in your fine, transparent cloak, my breath takes flight. I like you at midday, the sun outlining your form, and again in the evening twilight, a fond moon adorning your head. But I prefer you at break of day, with dawn dew soft on your cheek, shy sun gazing sideways on your soul that lies half naked. At times like that, my blood surges, turns my head, awakens desire. Cruach Vorhin. Éilíonn manáil nuair a éicim ort ma cheod stúma hasabach idir clocha míd treachach. Is mollam tú I lára lé, dáramh na gréine ar crut agus drach. Is a ríist I glab holas am tánóna galach Janu leg machu the keen. Akis far lummer fadhu ega brackale, stroked na madjana go bugger the grua, solus kuhle fek and cleahonog erdanum a lean lanocht. Egan a hamant a son, tagan rort and quid fuller, a etermian machurp, a chasan machyaun, a goose glean faun. Thank you.
For me, Lamont Louis, and that's from his brand new collection, which was launched here in Sarn, yeah, as part of Bialtna, Sir Daniel. So, Gunnar Rilat, Next up we have, is it Nia?
So this piece is called Melancholy in the Sun. I'm a tree in a park surrounded by other trees. Everyone else is blossoming into the new season. They're all growing, creating big, colorful leaves. Their leaves and branches are flowing, moving to the beat of the wind. They take in every dash of sunshine and absorb every drop of rain. Then why are my leaves drying up? Why are they falling down? One by one, I'm losing my leaves, as if it was winter. My branches and trunk too are drying up, steadily becoming weak. I'm not flowing to the beat of the wind, just like the others are. Why are my roots ejecting the water they are supplied with? Instead of absorbing the water to grow, I'm drowning in it. Thank you.
You're being a mom, Nia. And it's your first time at Ovale as well tonight, isn't it? Woo! I love you. The three of you and all three of you read. You're being a mom. Okay, and Daniel.
Oh, no, sorry. Brilliant.
I have been told after I wrote this is a very trans poem, and now I feel like I should translate it into Gaelic. So I need to do a lot more Gaelic now for the next few months. But yeah, so this is called Force to be Reckoned With. I have dreamt and seen you in manners I cannot conceive, nor do I wish to be scried or scribed. I have seen you in the moments of your first breath, steps, paddle, waddles, scratches, and tears. I've seen you in my arms, and I have held you so tight I feared you would burst like the balloon I was given at your birth. What I feared the most is if I loosened, just a little bit, that the balloon would find someone better, more trustworthy, more natural. For I cannot have you, but you have slept in the beds that I have made. I've smoothed over your linens night after night, and I will do so for many more if it means that you won't have to feel discomfort. I've cooked meals upon meals, set the table knowing it would be unset, but not caring because you deserve to be fed. You deserve to live, to laugh, and if we dare, to love. No strings attach us, and I wouldn't want them to. You are all encompassing. You have postponed and prematured and predicted. You have been a joy and an ache, and all I want to do is love you well and true. I have become an ocean and a gentle kiss, and subsided both to be alone and young and human. For you do not breathe, and when you do, you will not be mine, for I am not made for such things. I've held you in arms that cannot feel, and fed you with food that will not grow. I will not subject you to that which is out of my control, so within you remain, in dreams unconceived, unscribed.
Daniel. I think the future of poetry is fairly safe, isn't it? You know, to be fair. Okay, me, Jeanette, is it Fast? Cool name. Okay.
So I wrote this poem when I was quite vulnerable. So it was a ranting poem, you know how it goes. So the form, but as I was feeling these emotions, I was like, you know what? I'm going to channel these into a poem. So as the poem goes on, you see it go from like ranting and then back into like, no, it goes like, yeah, like this, ranting, and then back into focus. So yeah, just take that mind. It's called, because I always write my poems like, at once, like in one go. I always envy the poets who were like, you know, knew what they were doing. So this is called a fuck your ode. Does it make me weak that I lie there bundled up in a pathetic mimicry of an unborn baby fetus position, shivering and shaking, unable to stretch out my limbs, for I'm afraid if I move, my reality will break. Well, I untangle myself and open my eyes and see that you're not there in my life anymore. Does it mean I'm weak if I can't stop these wretched tears from procreating on my face as I scramble to take back any words that has cursed me into this living hell as soon as they made you walk out that door? Will I open this door and be blinded by these tears and my emotions and miss the last chance I have by grabbing your hand and pulling you back into my arms? Am I weak for not being able to retain oxygen and not being able to prevent my chest from falling victim to a black hole and collapsing in on itself in succession to my ears bleeding from your goodbye? Unable to experience any healing without the sound of your voice echoing through with your laughter? Is weakness really crying out your name to the dark, begging for your skin against mine, because my soul has frozen over in an all-encompassing purgatory, where my eyes full of past happiness I'd get just from looking at you lay just out of reach from my fingertips, and my shoes that contain my motivation and efforts to move forward are hanging too high over a floor of fitted glass on fire, coated in venom and disease. Because I would walk till my feet are splintered and mangled, and I have stubs of flesh exposed like shredded paper, if it meant I could find even a way to climb the tower of marble coated in ice where those shoes hang, if it meant I could use them to walk back beside you. I'd welcome the dark, be baptized in it, reborn in it, molded by it, living my aggressive fear of it. I'd spend close to an eternity in relentless, endless black suffering, blindly touching wasp stings and bitten by ants like bullets and shark teeth and obsidian blades in search of those eyes of mine so I may see you one more time. Does not matter if my hands are also shaved off, because once I find yours, nothing would stop me from defying the laws of physics and regenerating them just to hold yours again. Because I'll dedicate my life and eternity into perfecting alchemy so I can learn to live on carbon dioxide and nitrogen and soot and asbestos. And no matter how unnatural and how agonizing and how torturous, just so I could have a voice when you need reassurance and assurances. You're doubting yourself again, and to be reminded that you are so much more than you believe. So I can make jokes, you may continue to laugh. The laugh that warms the world. And God forbid I'll coup d'etat his ass. I'll fucking do it anyways. And I'll take this salty tears of mine and I'll shake them rigorously into rivers and I'll spread them into lakes and build them together like Lego into vast bottomless oceans. And take those feared words of mine and compress them into mountains and even a big boulder that I'll push up a hill over and over. But I'll do it like a dog playing fetch. I'll whip these emotions into the shape of a lasso that I'll use to pull you into my fucking arms, okay? So watch me pressure myself so hard I'll turn my fetal shape into a diamond's dragon's egg. And my natural intention and reaction will be to move and shatter this false reality I've created for myself in my head. I'll stretch out my limbs all over you and tangle myself up all in you. I've opened my eyes. I see you. I see that you're still here. You haven't left me. So fuck off to anyone, including myself, who thinks that my love doesn't just make me stronger.
Gramila Mongus, made in it fast. Gramila Mongus. Carol B.
I've got one that's very short and one that's a bit longer and slightly darker. If some of you can relate. Kidnapped in an adult trap. Playtime is stray time. Grow up, head down. Don't frown, be polite. Only always do what's right. Fuck that. Wear a silly hat. Call in sick. Play with the cat. Live life. That's that. And this is the second one then. I wish I could go to a place where nothing made sense. Where there's no right and wrong. No thoughts of mine and yours. A place where words aren't needed, inactions cause no harm. I wish I didn't have to search for happiness. It could be the reason for someone else's. I wish I could sit and watch the sunset, but never see it drop below the horizon. Just bask in its crimson warmth before a blanket of darkness wraps you in the cold of night. I wish I'd savored the past, so I'd be more prepared for the future. I wish the future wouldn't steal me my thoughts away from the present. I wish your eyes could tell me more. Does a stare mean you care? Is there a feeling for revealing? I wish I knew what happened to you. What could I do now torn in two? I wish that I might understand this place, to remove this expression from my face. I wish that I was the wind in the trees, or a stone at the bottom of the sea. I wish that I could just be free. Thank you.
You're a manga, Carol. I have two names left on the open mic. Next up is Noel, Noel King. What's your role?
Thanks very much. This is my next book. It's launched at the Scroll Writers Week on the 31st of May. It's suitable music for review from Soul Vision Press. And the cover is made by AI. And it's a collection of surrealist poems. Hand me my life. Your hands carry the strength of wise old trees whose edges of branches slapped my childhood bedroom window. A dumb show plasters our faces. A look for other drinkers in this bar, front for our closeness, thoughts, consolation, conversations to each other's hearts. We liken the mists of our individual lives, lovers we have now and one for you from the past, likening the softness of trees to the business of our hearts. I condition myself to time, make maximum use of it, moments that take me on epic adventures to ponder until we next meet, when renewal will gain fresh confidence. My style I weave from you, my hero, while my return is more practical. Now your touch is the root of it. From hence I follow to my new world. Thank you very much. 31st of May at 11 o'clock in the morning in the store library, and there'll be even though it's 11 o'clock in the morning, there'll be a glass of wine.
Gawker at Earth, Noel. Best of luck. Brilliant. I am delighted to welcome from behind the bar Alexandra Toth. Out you come. Will you please say your surname for me? Toth, sorry.
I was Toth, easier.
So Bob's picked the wrong one. But
no, you're fine. The first time I was called out here and they said Alexander the 10th, so you know better.
That sounds good as well, though.
Yeah. So. So about a month ago I went through a very hard breakup with the person that I kind of imagined my future with. We talked about the future and stuff, so I kind of had to lead to like kind of protect myself and my self-worth in a way, and then this poem talks about kind of the confusing emotions that went on inside my brain for a few weeks. So I'll just say one more thing as well. So at the end of this poem, I mention a deity called Hecate. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Hecate. And this was a goddess of crossroads. So she was there for people. He's nodding. You always know the deities when I talk about these in my poems. Yeah. So she was the goddess of crossroads. So she was there at like a life-changing event. So like birth, rebirth, and death. So this poem is called Confinement of the Mind. She was trapped like never before, imprisoned by turmoil, confined by the state of disorientation. She was in a trance, failing to distinguish between reality and deception, facing both the truth and the lies the world has to offer, trying to decipher the words that leave the mouth of those near her. Lies or truth, she asked, enlighten her confused mind. She was hurt like never before, fighting the battles between her mind and heart. For her heart couldn't let go, but her mind craved peace and freedom. Let go, you know your self-worth, the soul whispered. She was losing herself like never before, for her hopefulness, positivity, and peacefulness were always present. She was now being filled with rage, disappointment, and resentment, not only screaming at the world, but at herself too.
Bring me back my true self, she begged. She was pretending like never before. She was joy, but has recently turned into tribulation. Where one moment her bright smile dazzles you, but next you know, her smile, her eyes silently beg for help. Who will be my savior, my escape? She asked. She was self-healing like never before, dreaming of a future where she's no longer weighed down by betrayal, uncertainties, doubt. Hoping for a near future where she finds herself again. She will rise again, but she will no longer be who she used to be. She will be stronger, more powerful. What's worse than the burning flames of hell, she asked the deities. The confinement of the mind, Cassie answered.
Yes. Mahu, Alexandra, and if that's just a month ago for a place, you're doing fairly well now, in fairness. Well done. What a beautiful evening. It's so lovely to see everyone and get to spend time amongst my tribe. Gurmila Mahugiv, and can we give a big boulabus for Ona Murku and Joanne McCarthy Reid, or McAvoy. Jesus, sorry. Sorry. yeah, Mila Wakis. Yeah.